Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots Podcast. Today, we are talking about the edgy sisters of the mermaid land, and that's the sirens. Want to shout out special thanks to one of our followers who gave us this brilliant idea, and we just wanted to unpack, where did the sirens come from? Where did they make their impact in history? And how do they make a play, you know, in today's world? Are they real? Are people talking about them? Have they seen them? And at the end, we're going to tie sirens to a mega company that you guys definitely know about, and we have thoughts on this. So, Shannon, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. So, sirens, like you said, they're kind of like the edgy mermaid, but within researching, there are two very different kinds of sirens. They kind of like morphed over time.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
People know enough about them. And so I'm excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we love our mythical creatures. Mm-hmm. We love our, what are they called? Cryptids? Is that the
term? Think so. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know if we can necessarily call a siren a cryptid, but it's definitely, you know, a mythical creature. We're going to dive into it. We're going to go way back.
Yes. Way
back to classical times.
Yep. And they got a history. So we're going to dive into it and share our opinions on it and where our tinfoil hat is.
Okay, let's get started. So sirens are the creatures from Greek mythology that are said to lure sailors to shipwreck on their rocky coast. This is when we first get into our first version of a siren. So version number one is that the siren is a half bird, half human creature. It kind of goes back and forth between, like, is it a woman's head on a bird's body or a bird's head on a woman's body? So it goes back and forth, but that is our first version. And allegedly, they would lay out on cliffs and sing. They would have beautiful music. They would have sometimes instruments too. And when sailors heard them, they became enchanted and mesmerized. Often the boats would crash against the rocks. And if anybody survived that, the humans were promptly either eaten or just straight up killed by the sirens.
And that's what I think of when I think of sirens. I definitely don't think of the bird version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is also the bird version, but
yeah.
Right. They,
yeah, like the tail.
The tactic is the same.
Yes.
Yeah. I also picture the second version, which is half fish. So like the more mermaid look. I picture that out on the rocks, and that's what's luring people in. But no, actually it was first half bird. So according to Homer, there were two sirens on an island in the Western Sea. Later, that number was kind of increased to three, and they were located on the west coast of Italy near Naples, which I love that we can kind of get that specific. And they were said to be, it's kind of like their origin is a little bit iffy, but they're either the daughters of the sea god Phorcys or the river god Echelus, and by one of the muses. Another version is that they were created, or they were actually originally human friends of Persephone. We all know Persephone. She is the bride of Hades. She is the reason why we have the seasons. So when she was carried away to Hades, her friends were sent out to go and search for her, and they failed. And so the story goes that Demeter turned them into birds, which Demeter is Persephone's mom, as punishment for not protecting Persephone, which I just feel like is an unfair expectation of your daughter's friends, is to like protect her from the god of the underworld. Like, that just feels a little heavy.
It does. It 100% does. And it reminds me of our sixth grade presentation project.
You mean the one that I cried and left the
stage? Oh my God. I feel like I kind of remember. I actually have I have a little light on for when that happened, but I particularly remember in third grade when you cried because It was like book night or something, and you forgot your book at home, and we were all supposed to read like a paragraph or whatever, and you were heartbroken. You were gutted, and it brought you to tears that you didn't have your book. And I'm being like, it's fine, it's cool. But what was your situation? Remind me again. Like, there's a little light on. I think I
was Demeter, so I was the mom of Persephone, and I just remember being on stage and like either I forgot my lines or like I just remember being kind of like speechless, and I don't know if I, but I could be conflating it with when I was Clara Barton, and that's when I fled, and there's actually videotape of me crying and leaving that.
I like want to say you did okay, but I low-key, there was definitely a moment where you were upset, but it was never because you were scared or anything. I feel like there was always like something that like triggered you, you know, like with the book thing, you weren't afraid to read. It was just, you just didn't have your book. You were not prepared and that made you cry.
You know, it is funny because I was actually thinking about that the other day. I totally forgot about the book thing. I did not remember that, but it's like, it is amazing that I did one act plays when I had so many horror stories of going up in front of people.
Yeah, but you were fine. I remember I did that as well. And I was Hestia, the goddess of hearth and home. But you know what? That one was a big deal because it was in front of pretty much half the grades and their family. Like, it wasn't just the grade. It was like parents. It was grandparents. Oh. You remember that? It was like a Greek dinner fest. Well, I take that back because I think it was just a spaghetti night. So, but it was this like big dinner where friends.
I totally forgot about that.
And then they sprinkled in the presentation of whoever did the best during, because if you remember, we also had to present in front of the class. So if you did it well, the teachers asked you to do it again in front of the parents.
Okay, I probably wasn't asked to do that.
I feel like you might have, but like if you did get upset, I wonder if it was in front of the parents. Like, I would feel so bad. Like, as an adult, I'd be like, oh my God, that poor girl. Like, she has stage fright. But again, you don't have bad presentation skills.
I know, somewhere around
the
way. You're
quite good at it. So, I don't know. You would think. I love that you have trauma, but you have overcome them. You are not your presentation.
You are not your abusers.
So anyways, it kind of reminds me of those days.
You know, the key to doing good presentation is pretending that you're somebody else. That's what I have found. That's what you
do. I remember. This is a lot of information for our listeners, but I do remember I did a killer job at that first time, but I was a little nervous and I like stumbled on my words on the second. I still remember that. Not that, like, you know that thing where people are like, no one's paying attention because no one cares, and like,
yeah,
you don't care about yourself. Mm-hmm. Again, just like, no one cares about you. I still live that in my mind. I stumbled on my words.
You're okay, Alina. You did so well.
Thank you. Thank you. That's my trauma.
Fantastic. Okay, so back to the sirens. So yes, they may have been friends with Persephone, and then angry mom comes in and turns them into birds. Regardless, they're here, they're on the cliff, they're mean, and they're out for blood. So in the Odyssey, Odysseus is instructed by Circe, which is like the witch. She tells him to fill his sailors' ears with wax as they pass the island with the sirens, so they don't hear the songs, so they don't crash, and everything is good. But Odysseus, who is always arrogant and, you know, has to be the best, he said, actually, I kind of want to hear what the song sounds like. So just tie me to the mast and I want to hear it. And so they did that and everything went fine because he was tied to the mast and he couldn't throw it into cliffs. But he did hear the sirens, and allegedly, because he heard the sirens and he didn't die, they died. Like, they had to kill everybody that heard them and they missed that one. So that was the alleged demise of those sirens. And so because of this popularity in Greece, the legend of the sirens spread throughout Europe, and they would be water adjacent creatures. Mm-hmm. And on the cliffs, we're talking about sailors, we're talking about the ocean. Somewhere along the way came this interpretation with the fishtail, and we get rid of the bird, half human, half bird, and mm-hmm. we get more of a half human, half fish scenario, such as like mermaids. And they started to get mixed up with mermaids. The difference is, though, that mermaids, typically you don't hear them being dangerous or ferocious or, you know, yeah. like killing people. So yep. that's, I guess, like a temperament thing.
yeah, you are your temperament.
Yeah, you are your temperament. And the sirens had a bad one.
Yeah, they're the evil ones.
Yep. And I really liked how online you could find a whole list of the different sirens throughout history and their names. And I did not write them down because there were quite a few, but also they were all, you know, like Greek names that I'm not going to try to say.
yeah. Because you guys attack us. You guys are upset when we mispronounce.
Everyone's upset.
yeah, everyone. That's so upset. We're sorry. It's like a disclaimer.
So, yeah, and that's kind of where the sirens go. They go to this kind of fish description. We see that following up into the 17th and 18th century, where the words, some of the words in different languages are basically siren, but they're the words for mermaid. So this is where we get that mix up. So the word for mermaid in Spanish is siren. And the word for mermaid in French is sirene. And we have like Sirena and Syria, and you know, so there's like, it just shows the connection between mermaids and sirens. But yep. again, originally they were like this half bird and super deadly.
Yeah. Did it make you think about the name Serena?
No.
Yeah, I was like, huh, I don't know, it just made me think of the Serenas, you know, like a Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Like, is your name tied to the siren?
I wouldn't doubt it. And you know, because of all myths and things, they all try to tell you a bigger story or a life lesson or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that sirens were created to represent the ocean itself because of its beauty, but also its deathly qualities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so be fearful of the open water, sailors. We're talking to you, sailors.
yeah.
As we know, we love to tie it back to the animal kingdom as well.
mm-hmm.
So, you know how we have order and genus of species of animals, the overarching names of species of animals?
Like the scientific name?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, the scientific name or for the order of fully aquatic herbivorous mammals, aka manatees, is Sirenia.
Huh.
Or they originate from the word siren. And mm-hmm. that's what manatees are named after. Basically, it's thought that they did this because of their slightly similar resemblance to mermaids and sirens. like that just seems
that like just it's seems a bit rude. Of a stretch, but I it's like when you show someone a picture and you're like, doesn't this guy look exactly like the celebrity? And you're like trying to be nice. You're like, yeah, I kind of see it.
Yeah.
That's what the manatee is.
Manatee, the sea cow, kind of like a mermaid.
Just rude. Like squint your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, squint your eyes. Very bald.
Yep.
But in researching this, Alina, I found out about a new animal.
Oh my god, was it the wait don't tell me the Greenland shark?
No, I'm saying a new animal, Alina, that I just found out because of researching this podcast.
Oh my god, what?
It's called the dugong.
Okay.
It's basically the Pacific cousin of a manatee.
Oh my god, I'm gonna look it up right now.
They're kind of creepy looking.
Wait, I would assume these guys are manatees.
No, they have different snouts and different tails. So the dugongs have more of a dolphin tail, whereas the manatees have more like a beaver tail.
Yes. Okay, I see the comparison. Oh my God, how fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
And they're also in this order. So, like, they're also, again, they're cousins to the manatees, so they're under the Sirenia family. So they're little sirens.
To go back to the beginning, it kind of makes sense to me why they originally picked the bird, because of course the birds sing, you know?
Yeah. They're
always tweeting and all that fun stuff. So that does make sense, but I feel like whoever wanted to change it up to like more of like a person mermaid vibe, they really just honed in on the environment of the ocean.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So we got to talk about, where do these sirens live, and like, are they real? Have we seen sightings? And like I said, there's a mega company that is tied to sirens. But before we do, we first got to listen to a word from our sponsor. Alrighty, we are back. And I was thinking about this when we were doing our little research on sirens and how much pop culture has kind of weaved sirens into their content. And one of them was the Harry Potter movie, you know, Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire. And you have those singing, I don't even know what they were called. What were they called? Do you remember what they were named?
I think they were always called mer people.
Yeah, something. But it's essentially, if you haven't seen it, even though you should have, spoiler alert, but Harry has to go underwater and to save Ron. And like these mermaids, but they're evil. Like they are there to shake up your life, shake up your world. And they attack and whatnot. And so it's like essentially like a siren mermaid evil twist on this creature. But then if you also remember, they had the egg where he could only play music like underwater. So it's like, ooh, it's like seems bad. Ah, you know, like I can't hear it. But then underwater, it sounds beautiful.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think there are two creatures. So there are mer people in that lake. And then the scary ones are another one that I'm blanking on the name, but yeah, definitely more siren-esque, scary.
Yes. Yes.
Grotesque.
Yep. Yep. And then you got the classic, going back to Disney, The Little Mermaid. And then it made me think of like the storyline and how she loses her beautiful singing voice. And then of course there's like a ship with Prince Eric. And I'm like, my God, Disney just knows how to weave stories, like old time stories.
Yeah. And I saw or I listened to something recently that talked about, you know, how the original, all the Disney movies that are based on princesses are all from, you know, the Grimm brothers or whatever, and they're super dark. I didn't realize that in the original stories, I believe, this may be wrong, but her tongue was taken out.
Oh, wow.
But the other thing that made me pause was that when she got her legs in the original story, it said that it felt like she, or for her, it felt like she was walking on knives every step she took. It's like, oh, lovely. Great.
I love that.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Disney version.
Yeah, we're going to go with that.
Yeah, it's just wild to see how, you know, pop culture has like weaved these creatures, these sirens, into them.
Yeah.
But I think one question people might have is like, okay, where do these sirens live? And it's hard to say, but a lot of myths link it to Italy and Greece, which is kind of a no-brainer to me, I think, just because of the story, you know, with Odysseus. So definitely makes sense. But the big question, right? Are sirens real? And sadly, there's not a lot of evidence. We really thought there'd be some more, and which makes me think, honestly, there's way more alien evidence than there is sirens. So just saying, if we're going to weigh out the creatures. So yeah, there's really no evidence to suggest that they're real, and just like seems like more of a story from this Greek mythology that we know. But that doesn't mean there aren't reports. It's just no one's really talking about it, and there really hasn't been like solid hard evidence of these claims. So it's, you know, it's a tough one.
Yeah, and I think at this point most of Greece and Italy's coastline is pretty well surveyed. So there's nobody basking on those cliffs that we don't know about.
Do you remember there was like a Disney.com movie of a boy who turned into a mermaid, like when he turned 13? He was adopted. He was like the son of like a Poseidon or something. I don't even know. Just like, I don't know. This thing just reminded me of that Disney.com. Alrighty. So this episode was actually really inspired by the Starbucks mascot. That's right. The Starbucks siren. But we wanted to dive in into like the history of the sirens and whatnot before chit-chatting about them. Mm-hmm. So we all know Starbucks, and I think we can all picture their logo of this girl. She has this crown on, which, to be fair, for a long time I thought it was actually supposed to be a princess, but no, it is supposed to be a siren. So back in 1971, the founders landed on the name Starbucks, and it was inspired by the book Moby Dick. And Starbucks was the first mate of the ship in Moby Dick. So that's kind of where the whole correlation comes into play. So he is like the character. He is the exact opposite of the captain. And he's known for being reasonable and pragmatic, where the captain takes action based on emotion. Just kind of give you that little backstory, making the book shorter, you know, in one sentence. So they wanted to go in with the nautical theme, and they decided to choose a siren as their logo, even though most people probably assumed that it was a mermaid. But they're very, if you ask them, they're like 100% it's supposed to be a siren. They're not saying it's supposed to be a mermaid, which is interesting because, as we talked about earlier, mermaids are known for being peaceful, while sirens, not so much. They found an image of the siren in an old marine book, and that's really what inspired them to make this like their logo. So it's gone through a lot of changes over the years, and actually in the beginning it was originally the color brown, and now it's that green that we know, and it's supposed to represent them kind of recycling and just being more eco-friendly. So that's where the color green comes into play.
Or making bank.
Or making money, honey. That's what I was thinking. But it's so weird because in the earlier logo, if you look at it, you can see that her chest was bare and she had two tails splitting. And, you know, if you think of a mermaid or whatnot, like they only have one tail. So it's like, why are we splitting it into two? And I think mm-hmm. that just really highlights the marketing strategy of like sex sells. And so it's like, if you have two tails like splitting open, what are we just supposed to, you know, think? And so people argue like, oh, is this supposed to like lure people to buy their products? So since then, they have closed in on the picture, so you really only see like, her face, but you do see the designs on the side, and like that represents the splitting tails. So
yeah,
interesting. I don't know, something to think about. I don't know, and again, it makes me think of the siren, and it is kind of an interesting play because they, of course, like lured people in. Mm-hmm. And so like it's like Starbucks luring you in to drink their coffee or whatnot.
Yeah, it definitely is interesting to think about that way. And it's also interesting that they chose Starbucks, which, him being the more reasonable character, it's like mm-hmm. them trying to say like their brand is more reasonable, or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no idea it was based off of Moby Dick.
Yeah, same.
Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, and they said too that because it was got its start in Seattle, so it's like near the ocean, and yeah, they have, of course, like all those markets and whatnot and docks, so that's really where the nautical theme played a huge impact on their beginning and like what it is now today. I don't know, just food for thought. But yeah, what do you think, Shannon? Where's your tinfoil hat? Do you think sirens are real? What's your thoughts and opinion?
My tinfoil hat is on the shelf for this one. I don't think that they're mm-hmm. real, although the idea is kind of cool. But who knows? Maybe they were real back in Homer's day. And then mm-hmm. during the Odyssey times, you know, they died yep. away. Maybe. Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. No, I don't think it is.
I agree. Yeah, it's definitely on the shelf for me. But do I love this creature? I'm like, definitely. I think they're, you know, very forgotten, but they're quite underrated. They're feisty. Yeah.
I really liked researching it. It was fun to research.
Yeah. So that's that on the edgy sisters of the mermaids. Let us know what you guys think on Instagram. Follow us at Bare Roots Pod, B-A-R-E. And also follow us on whatever streaming platform you listen to, whether it's Apple Music, Spotify, we are there. And leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed our show. So we will be back next time with another fabulous episode. But until then, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.